We're on the Gemara and Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis in Brachos. And we, last week we had explored the question of the origin of Birchas HaTorah. Was it a Doraisa? Was it a Drabanan? And there's one piece that I just wanted to pull back out, which I don't know if we're going to get to discuss fully today, but in the, either today or next week we'll get to discuss, is what is the nature of Birchas HaTorah? And this is true, by the way, also, not only for the question of Birchas HaTorah, but for Birchas Kriya Shema as well. And we've discussed that a little bit there. But the question in Birchas HaTorah, I should say, what's Birchas HaTorah, although that in itself is a question, what is actually Birchas Kriya Shema and Ava Rabba? And the question is Ava Rabba a Birchas HaMitzvah for Kriya Shema? Which I've suggested until now, perhaps not. Or is Ava Rabba something else, like a Birchas HaShevach or something like that? And it's an issue that's going to come up. But let's go to the Gemara and just reread the one line before, I think the last line that we had read in the Gemara, which was probably 2 weeks ago, which is Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. It's about, I don't know, 15 lines or so down in the Gemara. It's right after the pasuk of Avas Olam Avtich Al Kein Mishachti Chasad is quoted. It's Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel Hishkim Lishnos Ad Shelo Kara Kriya Shma Sorech Levarech. If you get up early in the morning to do, let's say, Daf Yomi or Shnai Mikarecha Targum, and then you haven't read Kriya Shma yet, you haven't daven yet, so you have to make a Birchas HaTorah. Mishakara Kriya Shma, once you read Kriya Shma, in Tzarech Lavarech, Shekvar Niftar Ba'ava Rabba. So I think we had read this one line. You're ready, once you ready said Kriya Shma, let's say you didn't get up, you get the shul, and you said Birchas HaShachar in your house, as you're getting up, you get the KJ, they start with Rabbi Yishmael, maybe you said Karbanos, and you just never said Birchas HaTorah. You never said Birchas HaTorah. And now you say Kriya Shema, you say Yotzer Or, you say Ava Rabba, you read Kriya Shema, Mesviyatev, etc. You go on, you finish davening. So Shmuel, it sounds like here, believes that if you haven't read, if you didn't learn before David, you didn't make the bracha then, and you daven, and you read Kriya Shema, so you're off the hook. Shekvar Niftar Bi Ava Rabba. That's the position of Shmuel. Now, if that were the case...
It sounds like you're not allowed to make the bracha of Birchas HaTorah.
Correct. Now, here I would highlight one point. I don't know if we're going to explore this, but it's an issue that is raised. When Shmuel says, Shekvar niftar v'ava rabba, so what does ava rabba reflect? Ava rabba certainly doesn't look like a Birchas HaMitzvah on Talmud Torah. We kind of know what a Birchas HaMitzvah on Talmud Torah would look like if it's a Birchas HaMitzvah. Just like Al Netilas Lulav and Lishmoa Kol Shofar. So you would have Al Divrei Torah is the Sephardi version, La'asok B'Divrei Sora is the Ashkenazi version. That looks like a Birchas HaTorah. Ava Rabba doesn't look like a Birchas HaTorah. To be honest with you, it doesn't look like a Birchas Kriya Shema either, Birchas HaMitzvah and Kriya Shema either. But Ava Rabba certainly doesn't look like a Birchas HaMitzvah and Talmud Torah. It looks really like an expression of gratitude to the Ribono Shalom for having the love that God has manifested in this world of giving us the Torah and giving us mitzvahs. Now, there is one of the Birchos Kriya Shema. It's not clear whether there are two or three Birchos Kriya Shema. At some point, we'll talk about that. But of the Birchos Kriya Shema, of Lasok B'Divrei Sora and Melamei Torah Lamo Yisrael and Asher Bachar Banu, Ava Rabba looks a lot like Asher Bachar Banu. Asher Bachar Banu Mikalamim and Asalanos Torah So Baruch HaTashem HaSena Torah is certainly not a Birchas HaMitzvah for Talmud Torah. For sure not. It's not like La'asok B'Divrei Sora. It's simply saying, thank God he chose us amongst the nations. He gave us the Torah. It's a wonderful thing. That sounds like Ava Rabba. So apparently there's some discussion in the Achronim. When Shmuel says, Shekvar Niftar Bi Ava Rabba, does that mean you don't have to make any Birchas HaTorah? Or does it only refer to the Bracha Basher Bachar Banu? The simple reading of the Gemara and the simple reading of the Rishonim is that if you said Ava Rabba, you're potter from all Birchas HaTorah. All right, so that would be fairly straightforward. The complicated part is a Yerushalmi that Tosis is going to quote, but I'm going to actually bring up the Yerushalmi on my screen Give me one moment. I'm going to pull it up here, and then I'm going to share it with you. Let me share. Okay. So if you take a look, under topic number one, I haven't sent this source sheet out, but if I remember after she, I'll send it to Lenny. He can distribute it. The Yerushalmi writes the following. It's a one-liner. Shmuel Amar, Hishkim Lishnos Kodem Kriyashma, Sarach Levarech. If you got up, arose early to learn before Kriyashma, before davening, you have to make a bracha. La'achar Kriyashma, Ein Sarach Levarech. After Kriyashma, no need to make a bracha. But Amar Rabbi Abba, Vihu Sheshana Al Asar. That's only if you learned. Al Asar is actually the Yerushalmi's word for the Bavli corruption of Le'altar. Le'altar actually is a linguistic corruption of Al Atar, on the spot. So Rabbi Abba says that you're only Potter from Birchas HaTorah if you learned immediately. Now, that in itself raises a profound question. I think we may have discussed this. Maybe we did talk about it briefly, but we haven't read Tosfos, which is you always learn Al Atar, because the thing that you do after Avah Rabbah is what?
Krishma.
You say Krishma, and Krishma is a mitzvah, amongst other things, it's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. It might even, in some sense, be the quintessential mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So there are two ways of dealing with the Yerushalmi itself. Firstly, you should be aware that there actually is another girsa in the Yerushalmi. It is attributed to the Ravid. It's not in anything that I think we have in the Ravid, but the Rashba quotes in the name of the Ravid that there are actually two versions in the Yerushalmi. One is the version that you are looking at, which is the Hu Sheshana Al Asar. And the word Shana implies more Torah Shebal Peh, more Mishnah, something like that, which obviously is not a reference to Kriyashma. The alternative version is the Hu Shekara Al Asar. Now, that kara means kriya, implies Torah Shebichsav, the written Torah, of which Kriyashma most certainly is part of. The Ravid, as the Rashba quotes him, the Rashba is in his commentary here on this Gemara Brachos. The Ravid suggests that if the version is not what we have, but v'hu shekara alasar, then Kriyashma fulfills that obligation. If it's v'hu sheshona alasar, then Kriyashma does not sort of close the loop with Ava Rabba to say, I made the bracha on Talmud Torah, I learned, and now I'm part of the rest of the day. I've done my job. Now, if you say, there are two kinds of different problems to deal with here. Fuhu Shishona Alasar is difficult because the first thing you're going to do after Ava Rabba is Rabbi looked instead to say, Kriyashma. So you're not going to immediately learn. You're not going to pull out your Kahati Mishnayis or your art scroll for Daf Yomi. You're not going to pull them out and immediately learn. So I think the Rishonim already say, the Acharonim say, what it means is that as long as you learn right after davening without interrupting, obviously you say Kriyashma, you say Tefillah, you say Tachanon, you say Kedusha the Sidra, you have the Alein of the Shir Shal Yom, you're done. And then you sit down to learn immediately and Ava Rabba is linked to that. In other words, the rest of davening is not considered an interruption. Right? When you make a bracha on an apple, you have to eat the apple immediately. And any interruptions that's not necessary for the apple or for the food that you're eating constitutes a hefsek, an interruption, and you have to make the bracha again. So the intervening davening itself is not a problem. That's if you have a hushashana alasar. The hushakara alasar is very strange, girsa. It implies that kriyashma exempts it. That's true. But of course, what else do you do after avarabha? So here, a comment, I think it may be in the Beis Yosef he makes, is that there are situations where you wouldn't say Kriyashma afterwards immediately. It's possible that you did the brachos out of order, for example. We're going to see that later in our sugya. It's possible you read Kriyashma earlier, and now you're going back just to say the brachos. And that is a possibility. So there are situations, not normal situations, but there are situations where it's possible that you don't immediately, that you said Kriyashma already, and you're not saying Kriyashma right after Ava Rabba. And in such a case, if that is the version, again, it's not our text in the Yerushalmi, but if you have the other text in the Yerushalmi, you'd have to say that there are scenarios, there are situations in which you're not korei alasar. You don't read immediately after Kriyashma after Ava Rabba. And if you're in that circumstance and you don't read some type of Torah immediately afterwards, then then you're not Yotze. Ava Rabba does not exempt you from making Birchas HaTorah. Now, the interesting question, though, the next step becomes, okay, if one is to accept this Yerushalmi at face value, then does one have to learn immediately after Birchas HaTorah? You make Lasot with the Resora, you say Varevna, you say Ashabach Rabbanim Yikol Amim. Okay, what's next? So obviously, I think most of you are aware of the fact that our practice, in fact, is to learn. In fact, what we learn is first we learn some Chumash, then we learn some Mishnayos, then we learn some, not really Gemara, but a Braisa, not in the Mishnah. That's what we do. But the question is, does the Yerushalmi, does it suggest that whenever you make Birchas HaTorah, you have to immediately learn afterwards? Because the truth is, in Shmuel's scenario, when do you make the regular Birchas HaTorah and not use Ava Rabba? When Hishkim Lishnos, so you're getting up to learn. You're getting up to learn early, so that's what you do. You learn early, and then you're done. And so you make the bracha, excuse me, and then you learn. So, of course, you're learning right after you make the bracha. That's the whole reason why you made the bracha. So Tosis here has a long discussion about this. We'll come back to the source sheet in a little bit, but let's first take a look at Tosfos. Tosfos, the second Tosfos on the page, the big one, Tosfos writes, Shekvar niftar b'ava rabba ad hilkoch neimrenu l'kulu. The Gemara is going to list the three brachos and say that we recite all of them. So Tosfos writes, B'Yerushalmi yesh hodam rinan shekvar niftar b'ava rabba v'hu shishana alasar. So the Yerushalmi that says that once you read Kriya Shema, and by the way, the Yerushalmi, Shmuel didn't explicitly say it was because of Ava Rabba, but that's what I assume why. So Tosfos just assumes that. It's only if you learned immediately. Perush la'altar shalamad miyad be'oso makom. So Tosfos gives you a vocabulary lesson. So now Tosfos says the following. V'nisha laharav rabbeinu Yitzchak, kigon anu, the Ri, she'einanu lomdim miyad la'achar tfilas ha'shachar, she'anu terudim v'holchim kach b'lo limud aremsa yomo yoseh. So apparently in Ashkenaz, they got to shul, and it's not entirely clear, like at this point, it's not clear, did they say Birchas HaTorah as part of the Birchas ha'shachar? In the end, it would appear they possibly did, but they said, we get to shul, we daven, we say everything. We say, let's say they say Birchas HaTorah, they say Ava Rabba, but they don't learn immediately. As soon as they finish davening, they're running out. Right? I think many of you understand this. I don't know if it's true at KJ because the commute is probably a little shorter, but in Teaneck, it's like clockwork. You know, when 7 o'clock comes after the 6:30 or 6:20 minyan, or 8 o'clock comes after the 7:20 or 7:30 minyan, you know the people who are literally out the door. It doesn't matter what they're up to. Now, I understand why. Some of them have to make a ferry. Some have to make a bus. Some have to make a train. So they literally run on that clock. So in medieval Ashkenaz, apparently, they also had. As soon as davening was over, they were out the door. So, and they might not learn. If they were lucky, they learned during the lunch break. So the question is, do they, amai ein anu mevorachim, birchas HaTorah pam acheres kush anu maschilin lomod. So when you sit down, finally, you get a break. You take care of all your business in the morning. 12:30, your lunch break comes. You take out your sandwich, you want to eat, and you also want to sit down with the ketchup on Daf Yomi. So how come you don't make Birchas HaTorah? I'll say again. You said Ava Rabba. I don't know if you said Birchas HaTorah in the morning. Why is it that we don't make Birchas HaTorah again? V'heshivri, a very simple answer. De lo kaimalan ka'osa Yerushalmi. Ho'il u'gemara shalanu lo amaro v'ein sarach la'alto limon. The Ri's first answer, which is not ultimately the one I think that will stand, is that we don't like that Yerushalmi. Yeah, the Yerushalmi introduces the stipulation. Vihu, or the qualification, Vihu Shishana Alasar, the Bavli chose to omit that. The Bavli didn't say anything. So obviously, according to the Talmud Bavli, it's not necessary to learn immediately after you make Birchas HaTorah. And that's why we do what we do, says the Ri. So that's the first approach he gives. Then he says, V'od afil lefiha Yerushalmi, even according to the Yerushalmi, Dafka Ava Rabba, the Lohava Ika Bracha la Birchas HaTorah. So Tosis, the Ri makes a major claim here, one which you can't prove from the Yerushalmi. It's more, it's a little bit speculative. I mean, the logic sounds reasonable, actually, but not in a way. But Tosis says that the Yerushalmi's qualification, that you have to learn immediately for the Birchas HaTorah to be efficacious, let's say efficacious for the rest of the day, that only applies to Ava Rabba. Why? The Ikar Ava Rabba, L'Kriya Shema Nitaken U'Bishvila. So the primary purpose of Ava Rabba was not as a Birchas HaTorah. It was meant as a bracha to precede Kriya Shema, whatever the nature of the bracha is. And therefore, Bishvila, Eino Niftar, Ni Birchas HaTorah, Ela Im Yomo Miyad, Velo Gamo Yasa Hese Chadas. So he says, interestingly enough here, he says that you're only Potter if you learn immediately and you don't have a Hese Chadas. I'm not going to, that statement is a little bit ambiguous. I'm going to leave it with a very simple reading. I'm not sure it's the correct one, but basically, as long as you say Ava Rabba, you intend to use it as your Birchas HaTorah, so you don't have a Hesed Chadas, you finish davening, and now you say, you learn, so that's that works for Ava Rabba. Aval Birchas Asher Bachar Bonu, U Birchas Lasuk B'Divrei Sora, Shehein Iker LeBirchas HaTorah, Potros Kol Hayom. They exempt you the entire day, and even though you don't learn immediately, firstly, you don't learn immediately. Even if you did, you take breaks. Nonetheless, you don't make another Birchas HaTorah later. That's what Tosus claims. Now, if you read very carefully the previous line about, "If you learn immediately, v'gam lo yasa hesa chadas," Tosus may be suggesting that the Brach of Ava Rabba only exempts you for that which you learn immediately after davening. In other words, if immediately after davening you sit down to do daf yomi without interrupting, then Ava Rabba exempts you. But when you're done daf yomi and you go out to work and then you want to learn later, you've had a hesed hadas, you've had an interruption, and now maybe you have to make another Birchas HaTorah. So Tosa says, but that would only be true, Tosa says, by Ava Rabba. When it comes to regular Birchas HaTorah, so there Tosa says, you can learn the entire day. And it doesn't, you can be doing lots of stuff during the day, interrupting your learning, and you don't have to make another bracha, because that is the primary bracha of Birchas HaTorah. Now.
Can I interrupt for a second?
Yes,
I mean, maybe you did this last week. I wasn't at the shir at night. Rav Soloveitchik said that the bracha of Lasot B'Divrei Sorah is more than a Birchas HaTorah of Talmud Torah. It's Hisaskus B'Torah, involvement in Torah. And we are naturally involved in Torah all day long because we're doing mitzvahs and so on. And that was his reason why he felt the psak is that women have to make that bracha also, because not because they're chayev in Talmud Torah, but because they're oskos B'Torah. So that's, there's no Hesed Chadas in Lasot B'Divrei Sorah.
So to be honest with you, the Beis Yosef disagrees with the Rav. And he
that
said,
doesn't make any difference. The Rav, he didn't have any trouble disagreeing.
But I think Beis Yosef is correct here. I'll tell you why in a second. There are two versions of Birchas HaTorah. The Ashkenazi version, ours is Lasot B'Divrei Sorah. The Sephardi version, Al Divrei Sorah. If you take the Beis Yosef quotes the Avudraham about this, and he quotes a number, I think the Avudraham and someone else who say that they think Al Divrei Sorah is better. Why? Because Lasuk B'Divrei Sorah only implies Talmud Torah, whereas Al Divrei Sorah implies both Torah and Kiyum HaMitzvos. Now, the Beis Yosef himself then turns around and says, if that's the case, then I think the Avudraham is wrong, because the bracha that you should be making now is only supposed to be about Talmud Torah, not about other mitzvahs. That's the primary focus now. So again, it's a machlokas Sfaradim Ashkenazim, but the Rav's pshat works much better with the Sfaradi version. Unless you want to disagree with the Beis Yosef's translations, I think that he's correct, but one could certainly disagree, that Al Divrei Sorah, with that nusach, would work better to say that all day you're engaged in Torah and mitzvahs. And that bracha is not just on Talmud Torah, it's on Talmud Umaisa. Whereas the bracha of Lasuk B'Divrei Sorah refers to being engaged in the study of Torah. But okay, so we may come back, we'll probably revisit the issue of Nashim and talk about that. So okay, so they're fine. So that was the Rav's suggestion. Tosfos actually, and Tosfos certainly doesn't, again, the Rav may even want to argue Tosfos. Tosfos also is not going to buy into the idea. Tosfos is going to see it strictly as a bracha in Talmud Torah, but he'll give a reason why. I think it'd be on Tosfos. Why is it that you don't, even though you interrupt and you have a Hesech Hadas, how come, why is it that you don't have to make another bracha? So then Tosfos asks the following. He just said that when it comes to Talmud Torah, even though you have an interruption during the day, you don't have to make another bracha. So he says, "V'im tomar ma'ishna misuka she'tzarech levarich al kol suda usuda leshe basuka." Every time you have a new meal and you leave the sukkah, you had a meal, you made a bracha leshe basuka. You leave the sukkah, you go on a teal, you come back later in the day, you sit down again, you make another bracha. So Tosa says, "Why is the bracha of leshe basuka, of yeshiva basuka, of achila basuka? Why is it any different than Talmud Torah? When you have a hesech hadas, an interruption by sukkah, you make another birchas hamitzvah." Why not by Birchas HaTorah? So Tosfos says something which I would say is incredible mussar to us and should be highly aspirational, but it may be mostly aspirational. Tosfos says, "V'yesh lomar dishani Torah she'ena miyayish daita shekol shah adam mechuyav lomod dichsiv v'hagisa bo yomam v'layla v'habe kemo yoshev kol hayom b'lo hefsei." So Tosfos says that Talmud Torah is different than anything else, because really we're supposed to be learning Torah all day. So we never really have a Hesach Hadas. We never miyayish. We're always thinking, okay, I'm looking for the next minute. I'll be free. I can learn. And since our obligation is fundamentally constant, so Tosa says, that's why you have to, you don't have to make another bracha, because you never have a hefsek. Because you really, you're always just, you know, temporarily doing this, that, the other thing, even though it takes up most of your day. That's a very highly aspirational statement. It's also somewhat interesting, simply because the mitzvah of Talmud Torah there is a machlokas about it, but the Gemara seems to paskin that the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is not a constant mitzvah, but rather kevan sha'ada kara adam kriya shma shel shachar, so kriya shma shel arvis, so yatzei yedei chavasa. You have to learn an ace in the day, an ace at night, and that's your obligation. But it's not that you're obligated to be studying Torah all day. According to this halachic version, which is technically the way the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch paskin, v'hagisa bo yomam v'layla is a blessing. It's not an obligation. Okay, but Tosfos here is going with the other opinion. So this is the opinion that the opinion I cited was Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yishmael's opinion. And when his nephew Ben Dama asked him, "Anisha lamadati kol haTorah kula, mahu she'elmad chachmas yivanis? I have learned the entire Torah. Can I study Greek wisdom?" And Rabbi Yishmael said to him, "If you can find a time that is neither day nor night, that's when you can study it, because v'hagisa bo yomam v'layla." Okay.
So Rabbi, anyway. Is Talmud Torah one of the Tariq mitzvahs? But the Bahag, the Mamanidi,
yes, absolutely. No, it's okay. Certainly, no question it's a mitzvah. The question is it a constant mitzvah, except for when you have to do the other things that you're doing? Or is it basically you have to learn a little in the day and a little at night, and that's your minimum obligation, and you're yotzei once you do that? Okay.
I think maybe you should revisit your skepticism about the Rav's pshat of his askus b'divrei Torah, because it covers all the problems.
It might, but I'm not sure that's what the word means.
Well, lasso, but the racial raw, I don't know. You know, maybe it's because once you hear it from the Rav, it's so powerful that it dominates your thinking. But to me, lasso, but the racial raw means to be involved in Divrei Torah, and therefore women have to make that bracha, and we don't have to worry about Hesech Hadas. Hagisa bo yamav v'loyla sounds a little bit like his askus also.
Well,
unless you read v'hagisa as really learning.
But that is what v'hagisa means, right? Yehagia means speech. I mean, it's talking, it's speaking Divrei Torah. So, okay. But that's what Tosa says. So then he asks,
Rabbi, how do you define lasok?
To be osek means to really be engaged. I think that's the best way to, you know, the one thing to learn, you learn, you know, formally, I go to a shir, I listen, I sit there passively. It's another thing to engage. So I think that's probably the best translation. It's something that really occupies your attention. So Tosus then continues. I'm going to skip the next line. Tosus asks, why don't we make a bracha to go to sleep in the sukkah? I'm going to pass over that for now. And skip down about five lines or so. To Vahaya Omer Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam went as far to say, and this we don't accept, Kesha Adam Omer Mimitaso Balayla, Milmod, it should be, I think, Kodem HaShachar. If you get up to learn very early in the morning, so you went to sleep, your regular night sleep, you get up early in the morning, daybreak hasn't come yet. She'ein sarach levarich birchas haTorah, b'mnei she'birchas haTorah shel esmal shachris poteres ad shachris acheres. So Rabbeinu Tam has a very interesting perspective. As Rabbeinu Tam says that the birchas kriya shema you make one morning covers you for the entire day until the next day begins. So the day and the night. So even though you went to sleep at night, doesn't make a difference. You still, if you got up, you know, before dawn, you don't have to make birchas haTorah. When shachar comes, when the dawn comes, you stop learning, you make a birchas haTorah again. And Tosus just says, v'lo nehira. That doesn't appear to be correct. The Rishonim, the Rush, has a discussion about this issue. The Rush thinks that if you sleep shinas arai, let's say during the day, you take a nap, you put your head down on the desk. So the Rush says you don't have to make another bracha, birchas haTorah afterwards. But the Rush says that if you go take a real nap, Shena Kvua, so then you have to make another bracha afterwards. Our Psach Halacha is not that way. It's only if you go to sleep at night, then when you get up, and I don't know if, I'm sure it's discussed somewhere explicitly, I assume that once you sleep past midnight, that's when you would have to make Birchas haTorah again. I don't know if you went to sleep at 7 o'clock because you were really tired and you woke up at 9:30 at night still and you're going to be up for a bit, I don't know if we would say you'd have to make Birchas haTorah then. But once you go to sleep and you sleep past midnight and then you arise, so then Shenas Keva at night is something that you would have to make, you make the next day's Birchas haTorah on. Now, where Tosus has left things now is that there's no obligation to study Torah after making Berchas haTorah, and that's fine. But then he does say the following, Vatsar Fatim, the Frenchman, Nagu Lomar Psukim Shel Birchas Kohanim, Vigam Elu Dvarim She'en Lahem Shior Shehi Mishnah, the first Mishnah in Peah, the Elu Dvarim She'adam Elchol Perosem Shebraisa, Neha Yerushalmi, the boy She'yilmod Alasar. So he says the minhag in France was that people would learn stuff after Birchas haTorah in the morning. But Tosus says, Aval ein sarach kemoshe kasavti kvar. Tosus says, you don't have to, as I explained already, there's no need to learn immediately afterwards. Now, the truth is, Tosus's position is a little bit actually difficult to understand. If I make a Birchas hananin on bread or on an apple, I make a Birchas on an apple. So we know that you're not allowed to speak between the time you make the bracha and when you take the first bite out of the apple and swallow. Okay. But after I've taken the first bite out of the apple and I've swallowed, I'm allowed to talk now. And then I talk some, we have a conversation. I take another bite of the apple. We have more conversation. I take another bite of the apple. So I would understand Tosus's position better if you said the following. You have to learn immediately after Birchas haTorah, even the Birchas haTorah, the real Birchas haTorah, not Avarapa. And once you learned a little bit, then you can interrupt doing other things. And you want to come back and learn a little later, sure, you don't have to make a bracha again. And a little later, you don't have to make a bracha again. Why? Because as opposed to, let's say, an apple. You eat an apple, if you wait a long enough period of time, or if you have a Hesei Chadas, you think you're done eating an apple, you're full. You can't eat, you have no more room in your stomach for apple. And now you change your mind, you want to eat some more apple, you have to make another bracha rishona. People may not be aware of that, but if you decided really that you're done eating, and now all of a sudden you want to eat some more, you have to make another bracha rishona. So that's not true by Talmud Torah, and I understand why. By Talmud Torah it's not true, because really our ultimate passion is connect to Torah study all day, but obviously we have to do lots of things in life, lots of very important things, but fundamentally our heart is still always in the base medrash. So I understand why the Hesei Chadas is not considered a Hesei Chadas and the Birchas haTorah works once for the day. But the question still remains, why is it that you don't have to learn just a little bit right after the bracha? Like every Birchas HaMitzvah, every Birchas HaNenin, that you have to do the thing, start it immediately after the bracha without an interruption. And then you can have certain kinds of interruptions. And Talmud Torah, you can have a much bigger interruption because of the nature of Talmud Torah is different. So if you would ask me, although this may run contrary, we're going to look at the Rambam in a moment. So I would have argued that perhaps Birchas HaTorah is not really a Birchas HaMitzvah. A Birchas HaTorah is either a Birchas HaShevach, but I'm not so inclined to see it that way. It's more it's part of the Siddur of Birchas HaShachar. There are lots of brachas that you make up when you get up in the morning. Many of the brachas we make, again, we make them all in shul or all in one shot, right? Hanosein Lasech Levina. Forget the first four brachas. We make the bracha of Zokeh Kefufim, Matir Asurim, Rokar Atzalamayim. When we learn the Gemara Mirtz Hashem towards the end of this Masechta, in the ninth parak, you know when you make Rokar Atzalamayim? When you get out of bed, you put your feet down on solid ground. Now you thank God for Rokah Aretz Alamayim, right? When you were able to sit up, you make the bracha, or stand up, I forget which, you make the bracha of Zokeh Kefufim, that God makes those who are bent over, makes them stand up straight. When you put on your hat, you say Otei Yisrael B'Sifara. When you put your belt on, you say Ozer Yisrael B'Gvura. So all of the routines, all the things, we thank God for all the physical aspects, we acknowledge God's for all the physical aspects of the day. And now I would argue, we don't forget that we also have our purpose in life. One of our major purposes is Torah. And so we make the bracha of Lasof with the Reisora, Sher Kiddushanu, Torah, etc., etc. So I could sort of understand that if it's part of Tefillah rather than part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, then I understand why it's not necessary to learn immediately after Birchas HaTorah. If you see it as a Birchas HaMitzvah, then it's much more difficult to assume that you shouldn't have to learn immediately afterwards. Yes, you don't have to make another bracha when you interrupt it to go to work, and then you go during lunch, you decide to learn. You don't make another Birchas HaTorah for the rest of the day, because really, you're never miyaish. You never give up hope that you're going to start learning again almost immediately. So we get distracted by all the things we do. But if you don't learn immediately and it's a Birchas HaMitzvah, it seems a little bit off. All right. Now, I wanted to take a look at one. But this is the way the Shulchan Aruch, I believe, paskins, following Tosos. There is, I believe, another opinion in the Rishonim, but the Beis Yosef here, Rabbi Lichtenstein, you see, I'm willing to argue on the Beis Yosef too. I disagree with his and others' interpretation of the Rambam, and I want to show you the Rambam here. So I'm going to share my screen again, back to where we were. In interest of full disclosure, let me just see something here. I probably should give you the end of the Rambam. It's not, but let's first read the first halacha in the Rambam. The Rambam here writes, Hamashkim likro batorah, kodem shiyikra kriyashma, bein kara batorah shebichsav, bein kara batorah shebalpeh, no tel yadav tchila. It doesn't matter what you want to learn. If you get up before you've read kriyashma, it doesn't make a difference. You have to make Birchas HaTorah. Umavarech shalosh brachos. V'achar
kach. Do you remember to buy yourself sneakers?
V'elu hein. So you have to make the following three brachos, and then the Rambam cites the brachos. Now, when you read the Rambam here, according to the Rambam, what would you say about, does the Rambam paskin like the Yerushalmi or not? Meaning, is it necessary if you are relying upon Kriyashma, which means Ava Rabba? He doesn't spell it out, but he says you only make Birchas HaTorah if you're Mashkim Likro Kodem Shikra Kriyashma. But if, and it doesn't matter what you want to learn, but if you don't, if you're not learning before, you get up to shul, you get to shul just in time for davening. So it sounds to me from the Rambam that you don't make you will not make Birchas HaTorah again, because you're going to say Ava Rabba with Kriyat Shema and you're done. Now, what complicates the picture only slightly, and here I need to give me a moment. I'm going to bring up my Bar Ilan to share with you. I should have included that, but I need to show you the end of the Rambam. Give me one moment. The Rambam in Ava. Bila and Perek Zion. Let me just bring up the share. Oh, I see. Hold on. There we go. Okay. So the Rambam here. Let me just make this a little bigger. So the Rambam says, "Hamashkim likro b'Torah." We read that. Now that you have, and he quotes the Nusach HaBrachos. Then the Rambam writes, "Halacha Yiralf," and this is it. This is all the Rambam has to say about Berachas HaTorah. "B'chol yom chayv adam levarish shalosh brachos elu, v'achar kach korei ma'at mi devrei Torah v'nagu am likro berachas kohanim." That is our practice. "V'yesh mekom shekor in Savas b'nei Yisrael," which is the parsha of the Tamid. "V'yesh mekom shekor in Shteim v'kor in Prakim halachos mina Mishnah mina Brisos." So that's what the Rambam says, that after you make the brachos, you read. Now, the Rambam doesn't say that it is ma'akev. He doesn't say that if you didn't do it, that if you said the three brachos that preceded it, he doesn't say that that you'd have to make more new brachos again. He doesn't say that because he happens to be, but it's possible he holds that way. But what I'm pretty certain about is when you go back to the previous halacha, Hamashkim likor b'Torah kodem shikra kriyashma. If you didn't get up to learn, then presumably you don't make the brachos. Now, either the Rambam believes that really you don't have to learn right after the Berachas HaTorah, just the minhag is that we do, or the Rambam believes that kriyashma itself, in fact, constitutes Talmud Torah and therefore Ava Rabbah exempts you. The way I read the Rambam, and this is against the Beis Yosef quoting some others, I believe that the Rambam holds like the Ri's opinion, the first answer in the Ri and Tosfos, that it's a machlokas between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. And therefore, since we're always going to pass like the Bavli, and the Bavli doesn't actually introduce any requirement of learning immediately. So if you get up to learn before davening, you make our Berachas HaTorah, fine. And then you learn, obviously, because that's the whole reason why you're making Berachas HaTorah. But if you didn't do that and you didn't get up to learn early, then you just read Ava Rabbah and Kriya Shema and you're done according to the Rambam. So I think it's actually, I think the Rambam agrees with the first opinion in Tosfos. I think he would probably disagree with the second opinion in Tosfos. And but the Shulchan Aruch happens to Paschal like the second opinion in Tosos, and therefore you're only exempted with Ava Rabbah if you learn immediately after davening. Otherwise, you would have to make Berachas HaTorah. Okay. So any questions about that? Okay. You may remember from last week, I believe we read the Mishnah Berurah, who had a suggestion. We spoke about a situation. What if you're not sure whether or not you made Berachas HaTorah? It's a suffix. So we suggested last week that obviously, not my suggestion, the Achronim suggest that this depends upon the Machlokas, the Rambam and Ramban, whether or not the obligation of Berachas HaTorah is Midoraisa or it's only Midorabbanan. However, the Mishnah Berurah, because there's a Machlokas, had a number of suggestions, one of which was to have in mind, if you're not sure whether you said Berachas HaTorah, and now they start davening, say Berachas Kriya Shema, say Ava Rabbah, have in mind, and actually do it, that you're going to use this to pater yourself, to exempt yourself from Berachas HaTorah, and immediately after the last Kaddish, you sit down to learn. You don't go shmooze, you sit down to learn a few psukim, learn a couple of Mishnayos, and that way you can use Ava Rabbah to exempt yourself, and you remove yourself from any concern of suffix, because you have to say Ava Rabbah anyway. Even if you had said Berachas HaTorah, you say Ava Rabbah because of Kriya Shema. So now that's one way of doing it. He also suggests you could ask someone else to listen to their brachos and answer Amen. But anyway, so bottom line is Ava Rabbah exempts you from Berachas HaTorah only if you learn immediately after Davin. Okay, so now the Gemara has a brief discussion, and there are many different versions, Nuschaos, of this Gemara. It doesn't really matter in the end because we hold that all Talmud Torah requires Berachas HaTorah. But our Gemara actually reads the following. Amar Rav Huna, Lemikra Sarich Levarech, Ulemidrash Ein Sarich Levarech. So Rav Huna says, you only have to make Berachas HaTorah if you want to read scripture. But if you're just studying Midrash, which is the interpretation of the verses, of the Psukim, so that you don't have to. He doesn't explain why, but what we're going to see in this Gemara is that, in fact, the further you get away from Torah Shebichsav, from scripture, the less likely it would be that you would have to make a bracha. So Rav Huna says, only if you're studying Tanakh. You're studying Midrash, don't have to make a bracha. And then Rav Lazar Amar, Lemikra ulemidrash tzarech levarech. Even Midrash is very close to the Pesukim. But Mishnah ain't tzarech levarech. You want to learn Mishnayis, that you don't need to make a bracha. That's straight Torah Sheval Peh with no Torah Shebichzav. V'Rabbi Yochanan Amar, af leMishnah nami tzarech levarech. No, even the Mishnah, Mishnayis often quote Pesukim, they're in effect, in some ways, an interpretation of the Pesukim. Aval l'talmud, or Rashi's girsa is Gemara, ain't tzarech levarech. For Gemara, you don't have to. That's somehow too removed from Scripture. And then, V'Rava Amar, af leTalmud, Sarach Lavarich. So the sequence we have in our Gemara is Mikra, which is Tanakh, Scripture, Midrash, which is Torah Sheval Peh, it's the oral Torah, but it's directly linked to the verses. You quote a verse, you interpret it. Then there's Mishnah, which for the most part, the link to Scripture is severed. There are Mishnayis that quote Psukim, but they're pretty rare. The Mishnah is very much consciously an attempt to move away from Scripture. It's not organized along the order of the Torah, the way Midrash is, the way, let's say, the Mechilta is, the way the Sifra is, the Toras Kohanim, the Sifra. Mishnah is not at all. It's organized totally topically, not at all related to the order of Scripture. And then finally, Talmud. Now, the truth is the entire premise here is somewhat interesting, and everybody gets worked up in the Girsaos, but I haven't seen anybody discuss really what's behind this. Why would one assume that Torah Shebichsav requires a bracha, but Torah Shebal Peh doesn't? There is a debate the Gemara has on Daf Samach in Gittin, whether the Ikar Krisos Bris, the primary covenant between God and the Jewish people, is over Torah Shebichsav or over Torah Shebal Peh. That's a debate. And I think the accepted opinion, for whatever that means, this is not a halachic matter, is that the Ikar Krisos Bris, the primary covenant between Jewish people and God, is on Torah Shebal Peh. We are rabbinic Judaism, certainly is a Torah Shebal Peh religion. So it's somewhat interesting that if anything, what the Gemara is suggesting here is the more Torah Shebal Peh like you get, the less likely you are to make a Birchas HaTorah, which seems to be odd. The only suggestion I would have, maybe somebody has a better suggestion, I'm sure there have been better suggestions written somewhere, is that the difference between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh is that Torah Shebichsav is fundamentally what God gave us. Torah Shebal Peh, God gave us, but he gave us the core of Torah Shebal Peh. And the rest of Torah Shebal Peh is up to us to develop and to cause to grow. That idea is reflected to some extent in the debate between Rabbi Eliezer and the sages in Bava Metzia, in the story of the oven of Achnai, the Tanur Shel Achnai, where a voice came out of heaven. There was a big debate, and a voice came out of heaven and said, halachas like Rabbi Eliezer. And Rabbi Yoshua responded to God, said, keep out of this, lo bashamayimi. Right? Once God gave us the Torah, so it's not his anymore. But that's Torah Shebal Peh, that's not Torah Shebichsav. So I do wonder whether or not the idea of making a bracha is really over the primary thing that belongs to God, right? The idea, the reason why we make a bracha when we eat food, the Gemara in the beginning of the sixth parak will say, is that Hashemayim Shemayim Lashem, V'aretz Nasan L'le Adam, which is before we make a bracha, as opposed to the pasuk that says Lashem Ha'aretz U'Melo'a, which is the Shir Shayom for today. So how do you resolve the two? Does God only have the heavens or does God have the earth as well? So the Gemara says, kan kodem bracha, kan lachar bracha. Before we make a bracha, it's Lashem ha'aretz u'melo'a. Everything on earth belongs to God. Once we make a bracha, shemayim, shemayim, lashem, baretz lasan levnei adam. So in effect, when it comes to Torah Shebichsav, in order to study it, because God is the one giving it to us directly and in its totality, so therefore you have to make a bracha. But Torah Shebal Peh, while its origins come from the Ribbono Shel Olam, both Torahs were given in Har Sinai, but Torah Shebichsav doesn't grow fundamentally afterwards. Torah Shebal Peh does grow, and that in effect belongs to us, so we don't have to thank God for that because that's ours. To quote my favorite, I like to quote him, I quoted them recently in a public shiur and once in a Sichas Musar to quote Bart Simpson. When Bart Simpson was asked by his father to say grace, he said, "Dear God, we paid for this food, so thanks for nothing." But I would say that that might be reflected in Torah Shabbal Peh belongs to us. We're the ones who make it. Yes, God gave us the root of Torah Shabbal Peh, and then we build on it. But it's our building, so therefore we don't have to give it. We don't need a matir. We don't have to thank God for that. Whereas Torah Shabbal Sab, that's holy God's given to us, and that's for to study His Torah. It's about to study our Torah. That requires a bracha. I don't know. That's at least as the order we have presented here. But let me tell you what the problem is. The problem with the order. The problem with the order is the following. The last line that was stated was Rava Amar Afla Talmud Tzarech Levarech. Even for Talmud. Rashi explains Talmud. Rashi has the version Gemara. The Rashi is a bit up on the page. Afla Gemara Tzarech Levarech. So he writes Shu Ikar HaTorah Shemimenu Hora Yotza. That's the primary root of Torah where all Psach comes from. Gemara Rashi says Hainu Svaras Tame Mishnah. It's the explanations for the Mishnah, the Terutze Mishnayis Asosra Zozo, V'chasuri Mechsra. When two Mishnayis contradict one another, the resolution is Gemara. When there's a lot part missing in the Mishnah that requires explanation, that's called Gemara. So that's what Rashi describes as Gemara. And Rava, the last line had been, Rava said, Afla Talmud Tzarech Levarech. But now Rava quotes a earlier Amoraic statement. De'ama, or the Gemara quotes it. The Amar Rav Chiya Bar Ashi, Zimnin Sagian Hava Ko'emna Kamei the Rav. Rav Chiya Bar Ashi was a student of Rav, said, many times I was in Rav's presence. There should be, there's a word missing here, I think. And Rav got up, Lisanuye Pirkan Besifre, I was in Rav's presence in order to study our lesson, our Pirkan Besifre de Bei Rav. Now, Sifre de Bei Rav is probably Midrash. And Rav, Ahava Makdim, Rav would go earlier, V'kamashi Yadei, U'barich U'masni Lan Pirkin. Rav would apparently go wash Nethil Sadaim, he would make Birchas HaTorah, and then he would teach us our Perek, which is either Mishnah or Midrash, it looks like. To say that Sifra de Bei Rav is Talmud, is Gemara, seems like a stretch. But okay, maybe, who knows what was in Sifra de Bei Rav. But here's the problem. Turn three pages to Daf Yudalid Amud Beis in your Gemara, which is where the origin of this statement is. And if you take a look on the second, I say the fifth line from the bottom of the page, it's the second really wide line. On Daf Yudalid Amud Beis, the Gemara quotes a statement, V'ha'amar Abchiyah Barashi, Zimnim Sagiyan Hava Ka'imna Kamnei Derav, Umaktim Umashi Yadei. Rav would get up early, wash his hands, umavarech, make birchas haTorah, umasni lan pirkin. It doesn't say b'sifre de Rav, but it's the same story. And then umanach tfilin, v'hadar kari kriyashma. Now, the Gemara, I'm not going to go through what the Gemara's context is there, but the lesson that the Gemara draws from it is, on the third line from the bottom, is la'afuke, Miman de Amar le Mishnah ein tzarech levarech, kamash malon de af le Mishnah nami tzarech levarech. Sifra de Bei Rav, the Gemara clearly is treating as Mishnah. And the purpose of telling us the story, and again, Daf Yudalid Amud Beis, they're not talking about Birchas HaTorah, it's nothing to do with Birchas HaTorah, but it's the same story. And the Gemara says that the inference, the reason why we need to tell that story is to know that you have to make a Birchas HaTorah even for Mishnah, not just for Mikra, or not just for other things. Let's put it that way. So when you turn back to our Gemara, the story that's being cited here, of Di'amar Rav Chiya Barashi, Zimnan Sagin Avakaimna Kamei Derav Lesanu Yepirkin Besifra Derav, Hava Makdim Mekamashi Yadei Ubarach Umastin Lan Pirkin, is a raya that you have to make Birchas HaTorah even for Mishnah. It's not a raya that you have to make Birchas HaTorah for Gemara. Now, there are Rishonim, I think the Rif might be one of them, whose version is as follows. Mikra, Midrash, Talmud, and then Mishnah. And that's the order in which it's presented. So Rav Huna says, you only make a bracha for Mikra, not for Midrash. And somebody, Rav Lazar says, you make a bracha for Midrash, but not for Talmud. And somebody says, I don't know, Rav Yochanan says, even for Talmud, but not for Mishnah. And then Rabbah comes along and says, even Mishnah, Tzarech Lavarech, Dir Amar Abchir Ba'ashi Zim Sagin. That's the only way that the proof text really makes sense here, because the Gemara later on Yudalim and Beis explicitly articulates what is the inference with respect to Birchas HaTorah that you're supposed to make from this story. It's a little bit odd, but that's what the Gemara says.
Yeah, because what is Talmud in that series? You have Talmud and then Mishnah.
You got me. If I really wanted to kvetch, I would say Gemara has far more interpretation of Torah Shebichsav than does the Mishnah. Right, the Mishnah, you can write a small index of the number of psukim that are quoted in the Mishnah. Right, the Gemara has tons of material. The Gemara goes back. The Gemara will go back and interpreting Mishnayos. Classic question of the Gemara is minohani mili, which is a question of where in Scripture is the root of this Mishnah. Right, the Gemara, in effect, reverse engineers the Mishnah. The Mishnah is trying to get away from Torah Shebichsav, and the Gemara is putting it back. So I could explain in that terms why, in fact, Mishnah might be more removed than anything else from Torah Shebichsav, and then we could still preserve my drush as to why this particular order. Okay.
Good point.
So now,
maybe they were explaining the Mishnah, right? There's a couple ways you could learn the Mishnah. You could go through it, and then you could explain it more like a Gemara, like they were explicating it.
So, Josh, that's a good point, except for the way the Gemara formulates it on the Adal and Amid Beis is that the testimony of Rechia Barashi as to what Rav did was to teach you that L'mishna Tzarech Levarech. That's his formulation. You could have said what they were doing was Gemara, but then the Gemara infers from that L'mishna Tzarech Levarech. And that would be a bad inference if what you were describing were actually what were going on. Okay, so now the Gemara wants to know, Mai Mevarech? What's the Nusach HaBracha? Now, a word of caution, a word for the wise. Whenever the Gemara quotes a Nusach without commenting on it and without making inferences from it, be very, 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 very careful. Because it is possible, if you go back to a manuscript, or you go back to the original Gemara, which we can't because we don't have it, what you see in front of you is not what you get. Meaning, the Gemara here is going to recite or present to us the text of Birchas HaTorah. There is a very common tendency of scribes to look at a text that is different than our Birchas HaTorah, our text, whatever the Gemara is quoting, and gently correct the Gemara so it matches the correct version. And the definition of the correct version is whatever we say. And that can often be a mistake. We're not going to see it today, I think, unless we have just enough time. But it is a pitfall when you use the regular printed Rambams, not the most recent editions like the Frankel Rambam, which is really a good text. But when you go back to the Rambams that were printed from the beginning, early days of the printing press and onward, if you try studying the Rambam to figure out what his nusach for tefillah was, you're going to make a lot of mistakes. Because what happened very, very, very frequently, and I'm going to show you, probably not today, unless probably the beginning of next week's shiur, I'm going to show you cases where it's clear that the printed text of the Rambam says one thing, but the Rambam, clearly that's not the correct text of the Rambam. And we have multiple kinds of evidence to that, which I will show you. But it's the same danger that exists once the Gemara starts to quote a text, you don't know whether or not it's a precise citation of the text or whether scribes were either sloppy or deliberately amended things. But by way of analogy, I don't think I've ever given a full-fledged shiur on this at KJ. I've spoken about this publicly. It's something I teach in the Intro to Bible class in YU. But it is well known that there are places that our Masoretic text, our text of Tanakh, is not identical to that of Chazal, where we might have something spelled with an extra vav and they have it spelled without the vav, or vice versa. There are many, many, many examples of this. In not last Shabbos, this parish of the previous Shabbos, that the text says, V'livnei ha-pi lag shim asher li Avraham. Rashi quotes a medrash on V'livnei ha-pi lag shim, that it is written chaser yud. There is no yud at the end before the mem, because Avram only had one pilegesh. Hagar and Keturah were the same person. That's the Medrash. It's not in the Gemara. It's in the Bereishis Rabbah. Rashi quotes it. There's only one little problem, which is that in our Sifrei Torah and all our printed Sfarim, there is a Yud in that particular text. So the Rishonim, a number of the Rishonim knew this already. Now, I'm not here to discuss what do we do, how do we respond. I probably have given a long time ago on Shabbos. I may have given Shir at KJ on this. But here's the only point that I want to make now. When you see a Gemara quote a Pasuk, and it doesn't match exactly what we have in our Tanakhs, and let's say it's written with an extra Vav, without a Vav, and sometimes even bigger mistakes, do not assume that the Gemara had a different text in its Tanakh than we do. Assume, the first thing you should assume is that the printers were sloppy, or just, you know, or assume the printers were sloppy or lazy. That's what you should assume. The only way you can assert that the Gemara had a slightly different version in its text of Tanakh is if the Gemara does something with the text, it uses something about the text to make a point. Then you know what text it had in front of it. For example, the Gemara in Parshas Vayikra, when the Torah at the end of chapter 4, Perek Dalet, has three times it talks about a Karban Chatas, a sin offering of essentially a private individual. Each time the Torah talks about putting from the blood of the animal on the karnos of the Mizbeach, on the horns, the corners of the Mizbeach. And the Gemara goes out of its way to make a point that if you read, each time we read karnos with the plural, karnos is at least two. So 2 + 2 + 2 = 6. If, however, the Gemara says you read it not following the reading tradition, but the writing tradition, so then the Gemara says there are only four. Because what the Gemara is making clear, and the Rishonim point this out, the Ran and the Rashba point this out, that two of the three times the word karnos was written karnas, without a vav. We still read it as the plural, karnos. And one of the times it was written with a vav. So that gives you 1 + 1 + 2. And the Gemara learns whatever they want to learn from it. Samach lokes beshamay besila. Now, open our Sifrei Torah, and what you will see is that every one of the three is written without a vav. What you don't know with certainty from the Gemara is which one had the vav. That you can tell. The fact that the Gemara says karnas, karnas, karnos doesn't prove that it was the third one that has the vav. But you can prove from the Gemara that one of the three and only one of the three should have a vav. So only when the Gemara's interpretation makes clear what the text is can you prove anything. But don't prove anything from how it's printed, because that could have been just a lazy scribe or someone made a correction to match what we have in our Svarim and so on. So just be aware of that, as this may be one of the first times we're really reading a full-fledged text. Okay? So we're just going to read the text for now.
Rabbi, I anticipated all this because yesterday I read in Shalom Carmi's book on study of the Torah, there's an article by Rabbinic Midrash as evidence for textual variance in the Hebrew Bible history.
By Professor Ma'ori.
Right.
Yeah, that's an article we teach. So that's a great article, and that collects all the material. I didn't mean to steal from his work, but anyway.
Okay.
So so the Gemara now says, what's the brachos? Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvosav etzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah, which is the Ashkenazi version, and you look at the Rishonim here, and they'll tell you that there's another version. Fine. Then Rabbi Yochanan misayim ba hachi. Harevnu Hashem Elokeinu es devrei Soras chabafinu. Ubefios amcha beis Yisrael. Vini anachnu v'tzatzeinu v'tzatzei amcha beis Yisrael. Kulani yodei shemecha v'oskei sorasecha. Baruch atah Hashem hamelameid Torah le'amo Yisrael. So you can see, actually, in this case, there are several differences with our Nusach. The most significant one, ironically, actually, is the one that you might not have picked up on. It's the first one. What do you say after you say Lasot B'Devrei Sora?
V'harev.
V'harevna. Notice the Gemara doesn't have a Vav. We're going to talk about it. There is a machlokas about this, and there's a good reason why there's a machlokas. But in the meantime, the Gemara then continues. V'rav Hamnuna Amar, Asher bachar banu mikol amim v'nasan lanu es Torah, so Baruch atah Hashem nosein haTorah. So Rav Hamnuna quotes the bracha that we know, which is the last one, and it's also the bracha before Kriyas HaTorah in Shul. Amar Rav Hamnuna, Zohi Ma'ula Sheba Brachas. This is the best of the brachas. I mean, surprise there. He's the one who cited it. Maybe that's why he cited it. The Gemara then concludes, Hilkach Leimrinhu Lekulhu. So I'm going to leave you with really just one question, which will serve as the launch pad for next year. The Gemara says, Hilkach, therefore, Neimrenu Lekulu. Let's say, you should say all of them, which is what we do. How many brachas are there here? Well, what does the word Lekulhu imply?
Three.
It implies three. You don't say, I think even in English, you wouldn't say, you know, would you like some, you know, ketchup or mustard on your hot dogs? You wouldn't say all of them. You would say
all
both.
Of the above.
You'd say both. If you asked, do you want relish and ketchup and mustard and pickles, then you'd say everything. But if you only had two choices, you don't say everything or all. You say both. So there are versions in the Gemara that say, Hilkach leimrinu litarvayu. Say both of them. In which case, they're really only two brachos here. So that's what we will begin our exploration with next week, which is, are these two or three brachos, and why it might actually matter, both in terms of the nusach itself and other possible halachic ramifications.
Okay. Rabbi.
Yes.
The what we recite in the morning, is that according to the Sfardaim? You know, the Sfardim, or...
Well, most of us recite the Ashkenazi version. The Sfarim version is Al Devrei Sora, not Lasok B'Devrei Sora. And I assume Ashkenazim will recite that. And I assume Sfarim will recite
We recite the whole thing. That's from here. You know, we recite all those brachot.
Yes, that's correct.
Hey, Rabbi, another question.
Yeah.
When we make a bracha before we eat because we're asking permission to participate, to partake of God's world. Uh-huh. Is there something similar when we make a bracha before learning Torah? Is it asking permission that we can participate or learn from God?
I want to let Rabbi Lukstein answer that question. He wants to answer that. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. You have to look at the Rambam Hilchos Brachos where he first gives the Birchos Hanehenin, the brachos on food, and then he says, Kishem Shemavarchin al kol. I forget the words. Kach mavarchim al kol mitzvah u mitzvah kodem asiyasan. The word kishem means just as, which is actually, I think Rabbi Weider said, before we do the mitzvah, we ask permission. Although I think you were also saying we thank God for the mitzvah. The Rav felt, we're not thanking God for the mitzvah, or we're not thanking God for the food. We're asking permission to do both, because of course it's we need permission to eat food, but we also need permission for the zchus of doing a mitzvah. And the Rav centered that on the one word, kishem, just as.
Okay, thank you.
But not everybody agrees with it. I mean, his great-nephew, Rabbi Meir Soloveitchik, doesn't accept that at all. He says that the birchas hamitzvah is a birchas shevach and not a matir at all. Mm. He says that his great-uncle had too many matirim for all things.
I heard
all the matirim. As far as I'm concerned, everyone is a matir.
I miss one. I'm with the Rav on his interpretation. So,
okay.
Thank you, Rabbi Weider. It was a lovely
thank
class.
You,
Rabbi.
Excellent.
I have one question for you. You mentioned learning Yavanis is not included as Torah reading. Learning Greek.
Chochmas Yavanis.
Chochmas Yavanis, right.
Would not be permitted according to Rabbi Yishmael.
Right. Would it be permitted to say that Mada is Torah, like learning biology, learning science, learning this?
I would say that no. Let's put it this way. What is Chochmas Yavanis is an interesting question.
That's
it. But what I would say is that the we may not pass like Rabbi Yishmael. But Rabbi Yishmael's statement, and the Yerushalmi, by the way, Yerushalmi and Peah understands his statement differently. He thinks that it was just a cover. It was because of the Apikorsus involved that he didn't want him studying it. And he just gave him a sort of made-up answer. But as it's presented in the Bavli, even though it does not appear that we paskin this way, is that one may do things that are necessary for life, but outside, you have to sleep, you have to eat, you have to earn a living. But outside of those things, there's a constant obligation of Talmud Torah. So it wouldn't matter whether it's Greek philosophy or biology or whatever else. I don't think those are included within Torah. It would just be, other than for the practical needs of living, there would be no permission to study other branches of wisdom, according to Rabbi Yishmael.
Thank you.
Okay.